All right. Joining us now, though, is Caroline Blazowski. She is the president of My Healthy Home, and she's an expert on eco-friendly home cleaning products. Hi there, Caroline.
Hello, Jody. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so happy to have you with us. And one of the things that we're going to talk about with Caroline is mold. If you have a question about that or anything related to healthy home cleaning products, you can give us a call at 1-866-675-6675. That's 866-675-6675. I had a basement years ago when I lived in northern New Jersey in a nice old house with a stone foundation, but that basement got so moldy and we ended up having to rip down the walls, and it was very expensive and messy and so forth. What can folks do to recognize a mold problem early on so that it doesn't result in a big expensive mess later?
My specialty. So really what it takes now, I mean, back, you know, probably when you had your home in New Jersey is just notoriously bad because we have a high water table. I was there too. So it's, you know, we are dealing with environmental factors that sort of create mold. But now we have a lot of great testing methods that you can use to basically test your home yourself just like a professional would. We do air samples where we send you a kit. We work a lot with physicians if somebody's having, you know, symptoms, asthma, headaches, sinus problems. Their physician might send them over to us, and we'll send you a neat little kit. And we've been fortunate to do some testing for some people on the Martha Stewart staff, so it's been kind of fun. And we send you a little kit, and you'll just take air samples, and then we send that to the lab, and we can kind of indicate if you have a problem going on a lot earlier than we used to be able to. So we can pick up when levels are kind of lower, you know, before they start to become a great big issue.
So by the time you see the green furry spots on your wall, it's kind of late, right?
That's it. So, yeah, we can really indicate if there's a problem before, you know, the big stuff starts. And so when people start to smell that musty odor, we can kind of dictate, okay, well, there could be something going on here that we can't even see. And then we can do a little remediation or just kind of start monitoring humidity and factors that sort of, you know, will make you have an issue before you need to deal with your remediation like you did.
And you've got some natural suggestions, like grapefruit seed extract, for example?
Yes, that's a wonderful product. It's excellent at removing mold from your environment. You can put it in just the, you know, about 20 to 30 drops, depending on, you know, the issue that you're dealing with at hand, and just kind of put it into some water. And you can use that in a spray bottle and use that on your tub or in areas where you might find that you're having some mold growth. You know, it's not something that's going to work on something that is a major problem like your basement was, but 15 to 20 drops of it and 2 cups of warm water work great, like to clean your bathroom or an area, you know, around the toilet that may seem like it's staying damp or has a musty odor.
Vinegar has so many uses. How about vinegar for getting rid of mold?
Vinegar is great, too. You can use it, you know, straight or diluted, 50 to 50 to water. And you can use that, obviously, you know, Martha talks about it a lot, that we clean everything with vinegar because it can, you know, remove about 99% of bacteria and viruses and germs, and it's got a lot of wonderful antimicrobial and antibacterial properties. So it's really important to use that around the house if you can, you know, on cupboards and things that, you know, you're cutting, you know, chicken or, you know, vegetables or anything that might contain some sort of bacteria.
Okay, we have a caller on the line from Florida. Judy, you're on the air with Caroline Blazowski. Hi there, Judy. Oh, Judy went off to clean her floors. She had a question about floor cleaners. Maybe she'll call back. I hope she does. In the meantime, I also wanted to ask you about hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, and
what's
I think
that good for?
Kind of brings us up to, I wanted to give a little list, if I could, of things that everybody should kind of keep in their cabinet for making your home healthy and then also environmentally friendly, and then also you can sort of be a little economical, especially since, you know, this time of economic struggle, people are trying to be more frugal. So I thought I'd give a little list
Great.
Of things.
Mm-hmm.
And in that list, you can sort of make almost every type of product you could use to clean or, you know, disinfect in your home. So I think sea salt is one of the biggest things, and you can go pick up a big bag from your local health food store. So you want to have some salt. Baking soda is another product that you'll need to have if you're going to make your own ingredients. The white vinegar, like you talked about, that's important. Some milk, lemons, and some lemon juice. And
how does the milk come into play?
Well, milk is great if you want to remove ink. If you have kids that love to play with pens and are drawing, or you get any kind of ink on your clothing, it's wonderful at taking out any kind of ink stain. So you can just take a little bit of milk and rub it. Like if you ever get pen on your hands, like I'm Miss Pen Woman, so everything, I'm getting my pen always exploding on my hands, and you just take a little bit of milk and it'll take it right out.
That's amazing. I have lived my entire life in homes that had ink in them and had milk in them, and I never had any idea that one could solve the problem of the other.
Milk is great, and also you can try a little bit of tomato. You can slice a tomato just right in half and then take the side that you cut and sort of rub that on the ink, too. But I think milk works better.
Then how do you get the tomato juice out of your white shirt?
Yeah, that's not too good on a white. So.
I guess it has to be like a red shirt, maybe. Wow, that's a great suggestion. Okay, we have Anne on the line now from Connecticut. Hi there, Anne. You're on the air with Caroline.
Hi, Caroline. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. I have a front-load washer that is starting to smell a little moldy. What can I do? Is there anything I can run through a cycle to get rid of that odor?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, front loaders are notoriously known to get mold, and one of the reasons is because people are notoriously shutting the front door to the front loader. It's just a problem. If you go on the net and you type in front loaders and mold washing machines, it's just a common problem. So what you always want to remember to do, and even on the front loaders, though typically, I mean on the top loaders, that's not typically a problem, but you always want to leave the door slightly ajar. That's going to help, one, allow the inside of the drum to dry effectively. A lot of people, you know, you want to close that drum because it makes it, the door to the drum, because it, you know, it looks more presentable, but really
right.
Keep it cracked. Let the water dry out inside. That'll take the smell away, too. In the meantime, what you can do is run a little bit of hydrogen peroxide and some vinegar mixed together, which makes peracetic acid. You're taking your vinegar, which is your acetic acid, and a little bit of hydrogen peroxide. You mix those two together and throw that in there and just run it through the cycle. That should help get rid of the smell. And then
Right. Remember
to keep the door open.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Anne, for your call. And we have an open line if you'd like to speak to Caroline. She's got some very specific advice for cleaning issues, and the number is 1-866-675-6675. That's 1-866-675-6675. You know, this time of year, Caroline, so many people talk about getting humidifiers because it's dry, especially if you're in a colder part of the country and you've got that heat running all the time and your skin just gets so dry and your nasal passages and your throat. But folks are also worried about humidifiers, that they can be just sort of little petri dishes of germs. What should we keep in mind when we're trying to keep our environment moist enough in the winter?
Right, and you're absolutely right. The problem with humidifiers is that they do, most of the time, it's hard to keep them clean, so they'll start to grow mold and bacteria. Two things, if you're going to use any kind of humidifier, you're going to want to make sure you use one that's portable, that can be cleaned, and they also have new units that have UV light application built right in. And what the UV light does is it reduces the mold and bacteria that can build up in the unit. And the second thing you want to do is if you really don't have to run a humidifier, what I recommend is use boiling water, you know, steaming up with the shower, using boiling water on the stove the old-fashioned way. If you have old baseboard heating like a radiator, you can basically put a pot right on it, and the heat from the steam radiator will heat the water and then put moisture into the air naturally. That's one way to go.
You know, I have a bowl of water sitting on my radiator.
Beautiful.
And people make fun of me, but I'm like, A, it's free. B, it's free. And C, it works.
I do it in my home. I have a very old home, and that's what we do. And the second thing, also plants. Plants put the most perfect amount of humidity back into the air naturally, between 30% and 50%. It's just the way they're manufactured and the way they're built, and a plant just works phenomenally at doing that. So about a plant for every 100 square feet of home works fantastic at putting natural humidity back in.
Good to know. But you have to probably water your plants more this time of year too, right?
Yep, you do. Oh. And you have to be careful of mold. So the issue with the plants are that, you know, you start to get mold if you don't maintain the base of the plant well. So that's one thing you have to be careful of. But either way, you know, you want to try to add a little humidity. Those are the best ways to do it.
All right. Karen in Michigan, you're on the air with Caroline Blazowski. Hi there, Karen. What's your question?
Hi there. I have a brand new kitchen with glazed cabinet, so it's painted and glazed. And I wondered if there is a natural product to clean wood, like, you know, that painted wood.
I would use, typically what I use is just a little bit of vinegar and water. I mean, that's the best cleaning agent. You know, if you're worried about stripping it off, what you could possibly do is add in a little bit of, if you want to use like for dusting, I take 2 to 3 tablespoons of lemon juice and then a few drops of olive oil. You could use food grade linseed oil if you want, and then just use a soft cloth and dust the cabinets like you would any type of wood furniture.
And is that the same? Is that similar to what you would do on wood floors?
Uh-huh. That's the same thing. You can, or also, too, with wood furniture or wood flooring, you could take a half a teaspoon of olive oil, a quarter cup of vinegar, and then dust the floor with it as well. I mean, on my wood floors, as long as you've got a pretty good coating on them, you can use one cup of vinegar to one pail of water, and that's fine. And that's what most of the, you know, the typical flooring companies recommend. When you get into, if you have real waxed floors, you want to be a little bit more careful because it will strip the wax off.
And I have one more question. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had this answered, and you may not have the answer, but, you know, furniture that I've had quite some years that's probably had a wax built on it, wood, my daughter put a teapot on it, and I have a white circle in it. You know, like a ring from the bottom of the teapot, and I've never been able to get that out. Any ideas? Is that more of a magic trick rather than...
Yeah, it might not be. You know, I would probably, like I said, I would probably use a little bit of vinegar and water on it if that works. You know, some kind of, I'm trying to think of a scrubbing agent, but I'd be afraid you're going to strip it. It might have just done some damage to the wood, which is what it's sounding like.
Yeah, I think that, exactly.
Because otherwise it would dry out. You know, sometimes if you leave a cup of coffee on a wood table, it'll leave the ring and it dries eventually.
Right.
But, you know, try a little vinegar and water on it, see if that does it. And also, you know, maybe use the, like I said, the wood furniture polish and see if that works.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem. Thank
you. It's a very good topic. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for your call, Karen. And Caroline is a treasure trove of information about how to clean your home on a budget and in a pragmatic way and in an ecologically friendly way. And if you have a question for Caroline, give us a call at 1-866-675-6675. That's 1-866-675-6675. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll have much more with Caroline Blazowski, the president of My Healthy Home, coming up right after this. You're listening to Living Today. I'm Jody Applegate, sitting in from Mario Vasquez. Please stay tuned.
The pit bulls at the credit card company made my life miserable with their 25 calls a day.
How would you like to be out of credit card debt in as little as 12 to 36 months? If you owe more than $10,000 in credit card bills, you could save thousands of dollars by starting with a free, no-obligation consultation from Acopia Consulting.
The staff at Acopia was just great. I would call to talk, and they would settle me down.
Acopia Consulting is a professional debt negotiation firm. They work on your side to settle your debt for less than what you owe. They negotiate your credit card bills, department store debt, and medical bills down to an amount you can afford. Individual results may vary, not available in all states.
I can't tell you what a relief it is to have that load off my shoulders.
Find out how much you can save. Call for a free, no-obligation consultation now. 800-504-7535. That's 800-504-7535. 800-504-7535. 800-504-7535.
What are your meetings costing you? Let's do the math. You wake up early, spend an hour getting dressed up, grab a bite of some awful fast food, and drive 2 hours each way in traffic, all for a one-hour meeting? Business travel is a profitability killer, so do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, the award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, you can launch sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your desk. Travel less and still exceed your sales goals. Save your business time and money. Plus, GoToMeeting is affordable. With all-you-can-meet pricing, enjoy as many meetings as you want for just $49 a month. Free phone and voice over IP conferencing included. That's less less than a tank of gas. The best part is Sirius and XM subscribers can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code Sirius or XM. That's GoToMeeting.com, promo code Sirius or XM. Online meetings made easy with GoToMeeting.
The National Association of Realtors wants you to know that homeownership is an investment in your future. If you're in the position to buy a home, you're in a position of strength. Mortgages are available and affordability has improved. Even better, 8 out of 10 economists agree that home prices will rise in the next 5 years. To learn more about your local market, talk to a realtor and visit housingmarketfacts.com. Every market's different. Call a realtor today. Figure based on the Keller Center for Research at Baylor University, 2008. Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. Markets do vary.
Johnson, where are the files I asked you for?
I'm sorry, sir.
I asked you just this morning to pick up the dry cleaning, and you still forgot.
Completely forgot because I was so busy today.
You promised you would take me and my friends to the mall.
I'll drive you there as soon as I can.
I need help relieving my stress.
I'm going to tune in all week to the Body and Soul Challenge for Stress Week. That should help.
Join me, Terry Gespecio, for the Body and Soul Challenge on Whole Living at 10 a.m. East, 7 West on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112 and XM 157.
Ideas for entertaining, decorating, gardening, and living. Live better every day on Martha Stewart Living Radio.
Living Today returns with your host, Mario Vasquez, on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112 and XM 157.
Mario has the day off. He'll be back next week, but I'm so thrilled to be here with you. My name is Jody Applegate, and I'm also delighted with all the calls we're getting. We're talking with Caroline Blazowski, who is an eco-friendly home cleaning expert, and we were talking about rings on wood furniture, and our listeners are always so helpful. They've called in with some tips as well, and you can join them. The number is 1-866-675-6675. That's 866-675-6675. And Caroline, joining us on the line now from Mississippi is Margie with a suggestion. Hi there, Margie. Hello, Margie.
I wanted to tell you all that the best thing to get a ring off of furniture that's caused from moisture of any kind, whether it's a drink or water, is mayonnaise. And you just put it on and leave it on. I did it myself. I've heard it all my life. I never dreamed it would really work. But I had an accident in my RV on a wooden table that was oak, and it all came off.
Fantastic.
What?
Mayonnaise. Plain old mayonnaise.
Have you ever heard of this, Caroline?
No, but that's fantastic. I love it. I love when people
pass it on.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Wow.
Y'all have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Margie. I really appreciate that. So when it comes to your wood furniture, don't hold the mayo, I guess.
Very good.
All right. Marty is calling from Ohio, also with a suggestion about furniture. Hi there, Marty.
Hi. The gal from Mississippi just said exactly what I was going to say. Mayonnaise.
Wonderful.
And put it down with your finger, you know, like around the rim, and just let it set. Just let it soak in.
You know, let me ask what you mean by mayonnaise, because depending on what part of the country you're from, you may mean like a Miracle Whip type salad dressing.
No, it would be like a Hellman's.
Like a Hellman's, which is the true mayonnaise. Well, I'm not the brand, but that's
Miracle Whip is more like a salad dressing.
Right, because it has like red wine vinegar mixed with mayonnaise in it.
Right.
Which is what I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, and to me that was mayonnaise. And when I moved to the Far East Coast and tasted mayonnaise, I was like, this is different.
Yeah, it has a different taste. But if you put that on the ring, and then my mom used to do it, and then she used a very soft cloth, left it on forever. I mean, you can leave it on. It's not going to hurt.
Fantastic.
And then just a little soft cloth, and with your finger gently rub it off.
Excellent advice. All right, Marty, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Can't wait to go home and try that. Do you still learn things, Caroline, even with as much as you know, which is a whole lot about these kinds of things, do you still get sort of helpful hints?
Absolutely. You're constant. I mean, especially in the green industry, it's a process that's just, you know, booming. So every day, I mean, we're just learning new things and becoming more aware of new green products and, you know, I take constant classes on, you know, sustainable design, and it's a whole process. Absolutely. It's wonderful.
And it is great when you find out that some old-fashioned product or something that you already have in your refrigerator or your cabinet has another use.
And let's talk about the list a little bit, too, because the that we can add mayonnaise to the list. I think sea salt's a great thing to have, baking soda, vinegar, milk, lemons and lemon juice, hydrogen peroxide, some cornstarch, mayonnaise, olive oil, and a little bit of cream of tartar, and you can pretty much make up your own little experiments and your own products with very little expense.
In your own little laboratory. Like cream of tartar, for example. That's the sort of thing that if you do any baking, you probably have one of those in your cupboard, and it's probably been there for 10 years or so, because there are, you know, aren't that many uses for it in terms of cooking, I guess. I guess the last time I used it was maybe making a lemon meringue pie.
Exactly.
Probably about 10,000 years
and
ago.
And it's really good at cleaning. You can use it to clean silver, cleaning metals. So that's usually what it's used for.
Do you mix it with a little water, or do you use it dry?
It depends. You can use it dry. You make it into a paste. You can add a little bit of vinegar to it sometimes and then make it into a paste. That will also help to clean metal. It works great, you know, when you're trying to clean up silver. I used it a lot on my jewelry, you know, that I needed to clean up. So, but, yeah, it's one of the traditional, people are pretty familiar with it, that it, you know, has that property. So
good
to just keep it around.
Excellent. Well, Amber's on the line from Massachusetts to talk about stains on clothing. Hi there, Amber. You're on the air with Caroline Blazowski.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So this isn't, I don't know if this is exactly an eco-friendly cleaner, but it's something, it's a product you can buy, and it's actually used as an automotive degreaser.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called, the product is called Super Clean.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother-in-law actually drew me to it, and having young children, and you know, especially when they eat, you know, French fries or something, they tend to forget about napkins and wipe them on their clothing.
Right.
And you know, it's very hard to get those types of items off. But you put it in a spray bottle and just fully concentrate it, just spray it on, let it sit for a couple hours or even overnight,
mm-hmm.
and it washes right out. I've used it for grass stains, everything. So, I haven't found anything comparable to it,
mm-hmm.
and it's just the most amazing thing in the world. So that's something. But I did want to ask you a question. What would the ratio be with the vinegar and water to do a cleaner, you know, for the glass and stuff like that?
Usually 50, if you're going to do windows or glass,
yep.
Usually 50-50.
Is it 50-50?
Yeah, 50-50. When you're going to do a floor, you know, you can do one cup to a pail of water is fine. I mean, you can really take it up, you know, you could use on your glass, use it straight if you really wanted to, but it's just
okay.
About the preference of the smell. You know, some people
right.
don't, you know, want to smell it forever. Not that it lasts that long, but, you know, some people are more hypersensitive to smells than other people. So 50-50 would be fine.
Okay. And so is there an alternative to, say, that automotive degreaser that you know of?
I mean, usually orange oil is one of the big ones that we use, you know, or any kind of lemon. You know, that usually is what we use to degrease things. You know, if it works for you, and as long as, you know, I don't know the ingredients on it, that's what you want to look at and make sure that, you know, you're not using anything that's going to be, you know, obviously have a chlorine base or it's going to be bad for the environment. It's
right.
probably running on a sodium percarbonate base. That's what I think, you know, off
yeah,
my memory.
I have to look on it. I just, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I try to be pretty eco-friendly, but it's almost a staple.
Yeah, well, if you get kids,
young children, you know, I really haven't found anything, you know, as well as that. So,
you know what's a neat suggestion, too? You just thought it made me kind of triggered something in my head. What's interesting is if you ever have socks, a lot of people, a big thing with a lot of my clients is that people don't want to use bleach. And in the field that I'm in mold remediation, too, bleach has its benefits. So we also try to find things that are alternatives to that that will kill microorganisms, you know, like mold and bacteria, but it'll do it more naturally.
Yeah.
So one of the interesting things is that if you take socks, for example, people want to whiten their socks, and you boil your socks in a pot of water and throw a half a lemon in, just cut the lemon in half, it'll whiten your socks naturally.
Really?
Oh, that's kind of white T-shirt, if you have it and you don't want to use bleach, that's a great alternative to try to.
Oh, that is great. I'll have to remember that. Thank you so much.
No problem. Anytime.
Have a great day.
You too, honey.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
So much, Amber. So you recommend boiling them on the stovetop as opposed
mm-hmm.
to just putting them in the washer with really hot water?
Yep. For some reason, the boiling with the acid of the lemon works to brighten them. Oh, it's probably too, it's more concentrated than you would if you were throwing all of that into your washer. But yeah, it does.
Huh.
And the other thing too, I was going to say about bleach, I like people to understand, I'm a little scientist kind of oriented person, so I like people to understand, you know, why they're using these products and what the benefit is. And when you're looking at a product like bleach, the reason that we get concerned about it you know, its technical name and what it is sodium hydrochlorite. And what that is it's basically a chemical that is very strong at killing microorganisms and things that we are concerned about in our daily cleaning, you know, when we come in contact with bacteria and mold or viruses and people don't want to get sick. But when we use this product, we leave behind a residue. And so when we combine things like white vinegar with hydrogen peroxide, it's an old trick people used to use back in the day. Housewives used it. They use it for hospital disinfection. You take one bottle of white vinegar, okay, so you just have a spray bottle of pure white vinegar, Heinz or whatever brand you want to use, and then you've got your hydrogen peroxide, and that would be like a 3% gray that you'd pick up in a pharmacy. You have that in a bottle. And what you do is if you have an area that you want to disinfect, you just spray simultaneously. You spray one of one bottle, then one of the other, back and forth sequentially. And what that does is it creates parasitic acid. And this is a disinfectant they use in the hospitals. It's just a natural way of doing it. And you're going to accomplish just similar to what you would with bleach. However, you don't have the residue left behind, and you break down your hydrogen peroxide, basically breaks down to water and oxygen when it breaks down. So we're not doing anything bad for the environment either. So it's kind of – it's a great alternative to bleach, because there are certain areas in the bathroom, especially the shower and the toilet, that I do think need to have a little bit more of heavy-duty cleaning, especially if you're going to have a healthy home. So just a little tidbit.
Definitely good advice. Thank you so much, Caroline Blazowski. And just another point, folks can find a lot of this kind of information at MarthaStewart.com under the whole living category, a list similar to the one you gave us about olive oil and plant-based liquid soap and lemon and essential oils and distilled white vinegar and baking soda, and how in different mix-and-match combinations you can come up with almost any kind of product for cleaning your home on a budget, stuff you probably already have on hand, and stuff that you know is friendly to your body and your children's bodies and the environment. So Caroline Blazowski, president of My Healthy Home, also a certified mold renditionator? What's the word
Remediator.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it. You had some very practical advice.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much, hon.
All right, take care. You're listening to Living Today. I'm Jody Applegate, sitting in for Mario Vasquez, and we have much more coming up, so please stay tuned.
Kim Alexander, host of Fiction Nation, where every week I get to talk to a new author about a new and interesting book. From chick lit to sci-fi, from zombies to pirates, from tough gal private eyes to star-crossed romance, it's your guide to what you're reading next. Got a comment or a question? Email me at fiction@xmradio.com. Fiction Nation on Saturday at 6 p.m. East and Sunday at 5 p.m. West. Fiction Nation is on Take 5, XM 155.
Prices assume 5% down payment at 7.5% APR over 30 years.
Wow, look at this place. 4 bedrooms, 2 baths.
Yeah, I know.
Geez, you're not even 30. We have the same salary, Maggie. How can you afford all this?
My mortgage payment is less than $300 a month.
What? That's less than I pay for rent. How did you...
All I did was call BNI for a list of homes that are being sold for back taxes or foreclosure.
Home foreclosures are on the rise. That means there are great deals out there, especially for first-time home buyers. Like this listing, a 4-bedroom, 2-bath going for under $20,000. That's just $199 a month. Listings go fast, so call BNI for a list of these homes today. Call 1-800-763-6863.
I could actually afford to own my own home.
Yeah, and it's easy. Just call BNI for the list.
Properties that have been foreclosed or repossessed are a real bargain and sometimes sell for little money down. For a list of homes in your area, call 1-800-763-6863. 1-800-763-6863. That's 1-800-763-6863.
Hey, back to the show in just a sec, but before that, have you guys heard about this? There's this computer program that literally has newcomers to the internet earning tens of thousands of dollars. See, this program lets you start selling high-profit products on the internet using sites like eBay, selling stuff like digital cameras and iPod accessories, even plasma TVs. Now, here's the part I think's interesting. You can make all this money selling products that you never have to see or store or pay for. And there's a company that's giving out a CD for free. It tells you how to get started with it. The number for the free CD is, it's here, it's 1-800-322-1235. Looks like your computer does the work while you basically collect the money. Seems like an easy way to run a business out of your house. Anyway, to get the free CD, you call Internet Speedway at 1-800-322-1235. 1-800-322-1235.
Learn how to make a lighter meal, a brighter garden, a beautiful wedding, and a more festive holiday every day on Martha Stewart Living Radio.
Welcome to Living Today with your host, Mario Vasquez, on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112 and XM 157.
Welcome back to Living Today. Mario has the day off, but I am delighted to be here, and I love hearing from all of you. My name is Jody Applegate, and the phone number to call, especially if you have questions about weddings right now, that number to call is 1-866-675-6675. That's 866-675-6675, because we are thrilled to have Michelle Rago here. She's the owner of Michelle Rago Limited, a wedding design firm. MichelleRAGOLTD.com. I'll give that website to you again a little bit later on, but we're going to chat with Michelle now about some of the trends when it comes to weddings. And I was surprised, Michelle, when you told me that destination weddings continue to be hot despite some of the problems in the economy.
They really are. I think so much is about the experience and destination. They've got everything there. If you trim back your guest list, you're able to. Hotels are really knocking themselves out to provide a wonderful experience from start to finish. So much is built in.
So the hotels are willing to negotiate, too, because they really want your business.
They are, and especially because they're getting, you know, a room block. They're getting food and beverage, so it's an excellent piece of business for them. It's, you know, they can, their people are booking from 5 months to a year and a half out, so it's business they can count on, and that's really great real estate for them. And you'd be surprised. I know it would seem like it would be a lot more difficult and expensive, but if you manage your expectations, I think it's a great option.
So when we say destination, do we mean like the Bahamas or something like that, or where are people going these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think for, you know, those of us who live here in the East Coast, certainly the Caribbean and Mexico are wonderful destinations because, you know, you're guaranteed weather, you know, you're guaranteed a beautiful backdrop for your ceremony, and, you know, those destinations are prepared for your business. So I think those are sort of low-hanging fruit, as I would say. And, but, you know, I have three clients right now that, you know, I also do wedding planning, that New York City is a destination for them. You know, they're from Maine, or, you know, they're from...
They came for our tropical weather.
Exactly. Oh, my. It's about to get ugly. Destinations are very hot.
You know, that's a good idea. It doesn't always have to be an outdoorsy kind of destination. It could be sort of weatherproof. I mean, if you're going to a city where there's lots of things to do, even
right,
if the weather is foul, then your guests won't be disappointed.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and even within New York City, I mean, hotels, 4 rooms, everybody's negotiable.
All right. We want to hear from you. We want your questions, or maybe you attended a wedding recently or you were planning one and you've got some advice, things to do, things to not do. The number is 1-866-675-6675. That's 866-675-6675. Home-style weddings are also popular. What does that mean?
Well, I think that so many factors are coming into play today. It's budget, it's perception, and, you know, people are, you know, television is up because people are spending more time at home. And I think there's that perception that, you know, if you gather everyone around you, you're in your backyard, you're in your community, it just feels, I think, more appropriate and manageable.
What about restaurants, private clubs that can be rented out, and
yeah,
so forth? What are people tending to do these days?
Well, restaurants, I adore a restaurant wedding. I mean, forget the economy. I think a restaurant wedding, particularly being in Manhattan, there are so many iconic restaurants that have beautiful architecture. And if you work with them and, you know, you work with them in terms of what they're capable of providing for the menu and you're smart about it, you know, you get wonderful vistas. You know, think about some of the restaurants in the city that have beautiful views, wonderful neighborhood. And so you're really getting a lot of bang for your buck in terms of the experience.
Are afternoon weddings more popular because then maybe you can serve a lighter menu or?
It's funny. You know, New Yorkers are funny. I don't get a lot of afternoon weddings. And I think afternoon weddings are so lovely. And I think Friday nights, which obviously tend to be a less expensive evening in terms of real estate in New York, it's a very European thing to do to choose a Friday night because
really? It
is because then people get Saturday to recover, and you travel home on a Sunday, and you're not so wrecked when it comes to Monday.
Actually, I know someone who got married last Friday night, and it was the first time I'd ever heard of a Friday night wedding.
And they're nice. They really are lovely.
Hmm. Then when do you do the rehearsal dinner?
Well, then you're backing up into
Thursday
night. But I think, you know, a Thursday night dinner, particularly if you're doing a smaller group, I mean, you know, very manageable.
Hmm. Sounds very nice. When it comes to design trends, I was interested to learn that metallics are popular, including mixed metallic.
Yep. Right now, you know, people are trending away from a ton of flowers, and so a lot of glass, metal, mixing gold, mixing silver, mixing copper is it's a very sophisticated look. And again, it's a lot of texture when you're looking at your room. You know, glass and candlelight and metal makes it very sparkly.
Hmm. And when it comes to colors, the purples and the magentas are big.
Very big this year in design. And, you know, it's dramatic in terms of flowers and centerpieces. And, you know, you have to remember when you do dark flowers, you really should consider lighting. I mean, I talk about light, you know, I sort of ad nauseum do I talk about how important lighting is. Especially sometimes at the, you know, at the expense of your design or your floral budget, because if you're going to do rich dark flowers and you're not going to pin spot them or light them, they go away if you have higher centerpieces. You know, they just kind of disappear.
So do you need recessed lighting or a particular type of setup in the venue that you're using?
Well, a lot of venues have pin spotting. If they don't, at the very least, you should pin spot. And those are, you know, lights that are specifically focused right on your centerpiece.
So really small lights mounted in the ceiling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it can be redirected depending on where you've put the flower arrangement.
Exactly. And they're, you know, they're focused directly on the centerpiece. And usually you would do two pin spots, you know, one on one side, one on the other, and it just makes the centerpiece pop off the table.
Mm, sounds very dramatic.
Yeah. So the purples and magentas are very big. And, you know, those the sort of neon primary colors, you know, hot yellow, orange, and you'll see it in fashion. And, you know, what happens in fashion and is on the runway ends up on your table.
It does. The number to call is 1-866-675-6675. That's 866-675-6675. Also, draping and grand arrangements are very popular these days. And is that also something that comes from the fashion world?
Well, I mean, I think that in the spirit of people sort of trending away from, you know, tons and tons of flowers, it becomes about decorative items. So draping, you know, furniture, collectible.
Like silkier fabrics for draping?
Georgette is great for draping. You know, they have to be flame retardant because, you know, whenever you're in a tent, you'll have your fire marshal come and that kind of thing. So, you know, always keep in mind that technically it's all supposed to be flame retardant. But a wonderful fabric for draping is called Georgette, and it hangs beautifully.
Huh. I've never heard of that. What's the texture like?
It kind of feels a little like, do you remember sort of in the 80s, that sort of poly fabric that, I don't know, it's got a little bit of weight to it, and a lot of blouses were made out of it. I'm trying to say it's like, I feel like I'm playing Pictionary.
Like rayon?
Kind of like rayon, yes.
So it's practical.
And it's, you know, it's not completely sheer, but it's just, you know, there are certain fabrics that really lend themselves to draping, and that's a fantastic one.
Huh. So right now, people planning weddings right now are probably getting married. in the summer, right? Or how far out? You hear people who get engaged and they're like, and we're getting married in 2027.
Oh, I don't know.
How far in advance do you need to plan?
I don't know. It takes a lot of guts to be engaged for a year and a half to 2 years to be in that conversation. But the funny, I think what I am noticing in today's new economy is that the lead times are shorter and extremely long. So I am booking people for April of this year. So lead times are 5 to 8 months. And then I'm booking, you know, deep into 2010 right now.
Really? So it's one or the other.
Uh-huh. Yep. And I think the people who are, you know, towards late fall and early next year just haven't gotten on the stick yet.
So give Michelle a call. Well, this is a good chance for you to give us the name of your website.
Oh, it's MichelleRagoLTD.com.
Oh, okay. So when I was looking at it, I was like seeing all these letters flowing out of one another, and that's what it spelled.
MichelleRagoLTD.com.
MichelleRagoLTD.com.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Also, interactive designs are popular for wedding receptions. Like a photo booth is always fun, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think I tend to repeat the same trends because, experiences, people like experiences. And so, you know, if you set up an area where people during the reception can go and get still photos taken, which is fun as the evening goes on and the cocktails flow. You know, if you're outdoors and you're on a lake, you know, we've done canoeing for rehearsal dinner or cocktail hour, which people love. You know, we've done croquet. So when you have activities, it kind of breaks the ice a little bit and people really remember it.
I would love to hear, and I'm sure Michelle would too, about the most memorable wedding you ever went to. I went to one years ago where they had a whole, like, professional photo area set up with, like, a white cloth behind and, like, what do they call those things, diffusers and professional-looking lights and a photographer, and people would just gather in various groups and combinations and some serious and some whimsical and so forth, and just a bunch of beautiful black and white pictures.
Yeah, and those are great photos. You know, I think that people feel obligated to get, you know, Aunt Mary, Aunt Sue, Uncle Tom, you know, but those are not necessarily the photos that you're going to covet and look at year in and year out. I think the ones that are more playful and a little more fun, you know, you've got to get those photos, but I wouldn't dedicate your entire photo budget to doing them.
All right. Well, if you have been to a ceremony or a reception that contains something that you thought was just incredibly memorable, or maybe you have some sort of dream that you'd like to realize for your own wedding or a member of your family who's planning to get married, we would love to hear from you. The number is 1-866-675-6675. That's 1-866-675-6675. What, I know this is kind of a loaded question, and in New York, there's, you know, the numbers are all over the map, but what do people generally spend for weddings in this day and age? I mean, I know, I see the look
in
my
face.
It can rain.
I wish you could all see my face.
It can rain. I know the sky's the limit for people who have an infinite amount of money and more power to them, but most of us don't. So what's like, say you've got, what's a typical guest list size? Let me put it that way. Like 100 people?
I would say that 150 is probably a pretty average number of guests. It's like 150 to 250 is kind of where people are ranging between. And
sounds so enormous to me.
Well, you know, but younger girls are, you know, it's their families and their fiancés, you know, when you put it all together.
Yeah,
and I would really, you know, I'm not skirting the question, but it's a hard one to answer straight on because, you know, it has to do with the venue you've chosen and, you know.
Whether it's a sit-down dinner.
Sit-down dinner and how big your band is and how important decor is to you. So it's tough to be able to just say, you know, it's $1,000 per person. You know, it's really.
But is that like a typical number?
Can be, yeah. I mean, you know, you've got, I would say that things that you can count on, if you're not somebody who really goes deep, you know, far, far outside of the box, food and beverage should be about 50% of your overall budget.
Okay, you know, that's a good rule of thumb.
That's a good rule of thumb. When I meet with clients for decor, we say to them, you know, where we fall is somewhere in the neighborhood, like a good number to hang on to as a starting point is maybe $200 per person for flowers. And, you know, but I always say there's a far left and a far right for everybody.
And maybe a holiday wedding, you could save a little on flowers. Like if you get married around Christmas time, maybe there will already be lights and trees and so forth in the venue, and maybe people can travel more easily around the holidays. I don't know. I always think that that's sort of a nice time for a wedding?
Oh, we have a lovely wedding at a venue in the city that's coming up this December, and their guests are all coming from Europe and don't live in the city, and the clients are cute. They're saying it's going to be like Disneyland for them because they're getting